Somebody's asking me a question this morning. More or less, I suppose, was Jesus taking a chance, taking a risk in coming? And I suppose getting around to how much, if he wasn't taking a risk, if there was no chance of him failing, how real was temptation to him, you know? And I was very grateful. The more we spoke, the more the person who was asked the question was getting to see it herself, and getting to see that because Jesus was so hypersensitive to sin, that the temptation, any temptation, would have been horrific, because, you know, we tolerate some sins. We like some of them, don't we? We love some of them. For him, sin was sin. All sin was sin. And therefore, the pain, the power of the temptation would have been phenomenal. Anyway, here we are, Numbers 12. The 19th century American preacher Moody used to use an illustration a bit like this, a fable. Eric the Eagle is very unhappy, and an archer comes along, a guy with a bow, and asks, why are you unhappy? Eric the Eagle says, because Bertie can fly faster than me and higher than me. He's a better eagle than I am, and I don't like it. So will you do me a favor, archer? Will you shoot him down? And the archer tries, but he says, oh, I can't reach Bertie. He's so fast and he's so high. So then Eric says, well, I got a few good feathers in my wings. With the, that'll help, says the archer. It'll make better arrows, better flights on my arrows. So he takes a few feathers out of his wings, and the archer tries again. He still gets a bit nearer, but still can't get Bertie. So Eric takes a few more wings out of his feathers, and of course ends up with the two things the archer gives up because he can't hit Bertie. And now Eric realizes he can't fly at all because he's emptied himself of the important wing feathers. Eric's jealousy or envy was costly, is one of the kind of illustrations Moody used to use. Well, there's two main characters, really, I suppose, in Numbers 12. Miriam was the daughter of Amram and, anybody else know? Amram and Jochebed. And in Exodus 2, Miriam is instrumental in the rescue of Moses. She's there, and she comes up with a bit of brainwave, her initiative and wisdom, as Pharaoh's daughter comes along, means that Moses, little baby Moses in the basket, not only is brought up safely, but in the palace, and not only by a Hebrew mother, but his own mother, if you remember. So she's a heroine there. Later, when they've come out through the Red Sea, she leads the singing in Exodus 15. She's a prophetess. She may well have composed it as well. She leads in triumphant march this great song of triumph as the Lord has parted the waters and they've all come through, not even a damp sock. So Miriam is blessed by the Lord. She's one of only a handful of prophetesses in the whole Bible, if you think about it. I'm not sure how many there are, but very few. Probably you can count them less than 10, maybe only less than 5. But here, things are not going well for Miriam. And we see, sadly, that even somebody as blessed as her can behave badly. And you've been blessed, haven't you? I've been blessed. I saw some people I hadn't seen for 20 years today. It was 20 years ago that they all said, oh, no, you've been here since. I said, no, I remember when I came, because it was a terrible night. It was torrential rain. And I came on the way to the church in Bryn Mawr, and there was a llif in the road, a flood. And I stopped, and I said to my wife, and I'm not sure if we can get through there. And along came a fella in a 4x4. It's not very deep, he said, follow me. And through he went, and we went through, and as we went through, all the water came up through the doors of the car and wrecked my car. So I remember it very well. I said, yes, I remember last time I was here. Well, some of them I was talking to today, they've been blessed, and they know it. They've been blessed by the Lord. Now, is there a difference between jealousy and envy? I would have said, until I prepared this message, that I didn't know if there was a difference. I've always used the words interchangeably. And obviously, I was wrong, it seems. Envy, according to the definition that I found, envy is a strong emotion where you want something somebody else has got. Whereas jealousy was a strong emotion where you are deeply concerned you might lose something you already have. I don't know if that's right. Mrs. Brown, do you think? Mrs. Brown, not convinced. I don't know. That's the definition I came up with when I was... I didn't come up with that. That's the definition I found. Well, if that's true, then I'm guilty on both counts. So are you, and so is Miriam here. Now, we've all heard of sibling rivalry, haven't you? I got a big sister, a year ahead of me in school, all the way through primary school. Headmistress used to say to me, why can't you read like your sister? Your sister's the best reader in the school. And I used to say, I don't like reading, though. But your sister's the best reader in the school. Yeah, I know, I know. Then in comp, when he thought he was safe, in the comprehensive school, when I got in trouble, why can't you be like your sister? She never gets in trouble. Probably she was a bit smarter than me. I didn't get caught. That's my hunch. So we got sibling rivalry, but there's something very serious here. Miriam and Aaron too, but God's judgment is mainly against Miriam. So certainly her sin was worse than Aaron's. Her sin here is so serious that she's leprous. And but for Moses interceding and pleading, please, Lord, then she's leprous for only 7 days. She starts off, apparently, or they start off complaining about Moses' wife. But there's more than that. Hasn't God spoken to us as well? Moses, humble man, is put in deliberately here for us to know. There's this man, Moses. God has spoken to him. God has spoken through him. Moses didn't want the job, if you remember. He tries all sorts of ways to get out of it. But he was God's man. And they don't like it. Or certainly Miriam here. Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord hears it. Now then, was it that Miriam was jealous her own reputation as a prophetess would be downgraded? I don't know. Was she envious that Moses had the prominence? Definitely seems to be. Why him then? What's wrong with us then? What's wrong with me? And bear in mind now, these are not two silly teenagers here. These are probably both in their 80s. Been on the road a long time. Just because you've been on the road a long time, it doesn't guarantee you finish well, does it? In fact, very few in the Bible do finish well, which is frightening. The world-famous conductor, Leonard Bernstein, who, when I looked him up, I'd heard his name as a conductor. I didn't realize this fellow was prodigious. I mean, dear me, he produced music for all sorts, from film scores to West Side Story to operas. He was a conductor of an orchestra. But somebody asked him, what would you say is the hardest instrument to play? And he said, second fiddle. I think he's right, don't you? Jealousy can be positive. The Lord is a jealous God. He loves us. He doesn't want us to lose out. He doesn't want to lose us. He doesn't want us not to appreciate him and love him. But you see here, the Lord makes a distinction, doesn't he, between Moses and Miriam. He speaks through Moses in a way, yeah, he's spoken through Miriam too, but he speaks to Moses in a way that he doesn't speak through Miriam. And it's up to God, isn't it? But clearly Miriam is not happy the way the cards are dealt out, if you like, the way God deals the cards. I was just reading, just last week I think it was, that bit at the end, I think it's Psalm 77, where the Lord says, his path led through the sea, but his footprints were not seen. It's a wonderful verse. You just think, yeah, this is it, isn't it? You know, the Lord, he's guiding you, he's guiding me, he's watching over us. We were driving yesterday somewhere, and about three vehicles in front, some, I don't know what it was, clearly made of some fragile material, glass or something, so fell off this vehicle, hit another one, and shattered into pieces all over the M4. And we're driving, anything could have happened, anything. Here I am, no damage to me, no damage as far as I know to any of the vehicles who went by. You know, the Lord protects, and so often we don't even notice, do we? We don't notice. Do you remember in John 17, where Jesus says, Father, I want them whom you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. absolutely fabulous, tremendous. He wants us to be amazed at his grace. That's why he's jealous. He doesn't want us to think that it's all right. And so often that's what we do think. It's all right. You know, I'm glad. I remember somebody coming here to a fun day once, and I went on to talk to him. He said, oh, I've been a Christian years. I said, oh, go on, tell me what happened. That was a long time ago. Yeah, I know that, but, you know, tell me what happened. I don't do it now. It was a long time ago. But if you are a Christian, the most amazing thing in all the world has happened, and you're not very excited about it. And here's somebody asking you to give glory to God and tell him, wow, this is what happened. You know, surely, because God is a jealous God, when we love others, other things, whatever they might be, other people, more than him, I can understand how he's hurt, can you? How he's grieved? Augustine in the 4th century eventually saw, it was only your grace, Lord, that stopped me from committing evil acts. It was only your grace. Even as an unbeliever, he could see it was only God's grace that protected him from being even worse than he was. Have you seen that? His mercy, as the Puritans used to say, measure his mercy by his majesty. Realize who he is, and then, oh, his mercy is phenomenal. What about you? Do you see him? Do you see how beautiful he is? Do you see his love for you? I read in Jeremiah just last week, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Well, that is. Do you know how much he loves you tonight? I mean, personally, you. I don't just mean the world now. But how much he loves you. How much has he protected you from this week? You know, I once caused a scene at work, unintentionally. I was trying to tell a colleague who was an unbeliever that God loved him. And he was so desperate to get away from me that he turned sharply and slipped and fell over. Very embarrassing scene. Probably I was a bit unwise, perhaps. But the more I think about it, you know, what was he trying to run away from? Hearing about the love of God? Of all the things to run away from. What a ridiculous thing to run away from. The love of God. Somebody's telling him that God loves him. We're to flee from God's wrath, but surely not his love. Here's Miriam. She's not happy. Moses, it doesn't seem fair. You got a better hand, or the way the cards have been dealt out, than I have. It doesn't seem fair. Surely God has spoken to us just as much as you. And, you know, the thing is, Moses realized, that's why he was so reluctant, wasn't it? He realized that when God gives you tremendous blessing, there's a huge responsibility, and Moses didn't want it, did he? How can I speak to them? He said, I got problems speaking, you know, send somebody else. Do you remember all the excuses that Moses tries to come up with? You know, right here, Miriam doesn't appreciate grace. Look at the blessing she's had. She's not interested in that at this moment, is she? She's just interested in, it's not fair, he's having better than I am. Grace is when God gives us what? Things we don't deserve. When Luther was arguing with Erasmus, 16th century, about the sinfulness of sin, that we are dead in transgression, sinfulness of sin and the power of grace, in the end, when Luther was explaining how dead in sin we were, Erasmus said to Luther, if that is so, then who will possibly choose God? And Luther's answer was, nobody. That's the very point. That's why it has to be grace. Because none of us would. None of us can. It's all of grace. Do you get it? Miriam doesn't get it, does she? Do you get it? It's all of grace. A lady this morning, deeply moved, said to me after the service, why me? Why did he save me? Well, that's it, isn't it? That is it. Why? Why would he bother? And Miriam doesn't get it, and she pays a big price here, doesn't she? And if you don't get it, you'll pay an even bigger price, won't you? And you stand before God on your own. If you don't accept this grace, if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you will pay. You won't just be leprous for a week, will you? Now then, have you seen envy and jealousy in your own life? I want you to think about this. Start thinking now, if you haven't started thinking already. Think about the jealousy and envy in your own life. Envious of Bill's talents. You have been. Envious of, jealous of Betty because she's more popular than you are, or more respected than you are, or whatever it is. Envious of Clive's church, because when you meet, bump into Clive, because hundreds are going there and apparently all really enjoying and unhappy. Have you seen the me monster behind all that? The envy and the jealousy. You know how ridiculous that poll was, that survey, that 98% of the people interviewed felt they were better than average. I mean, it's just the most ridiculous statistic, isn't it? But have you seen that about yourself? The me monster. Causing mayhem in churches. Envy, jealousy, doesn't it? You know, in Psalm 73, we even have a believer, like some of you, like me, admitting, I envied the arrogant. I envied the world. You've done it. I've done it. Envied the world. Envied the godless. Envied the selfish. Envied those who were hurtling towards hell. Envied them. You've done it. I've done it. See, envy and jealousy come under the heading of what the Puritans used to call respectable sins. See, they're not drunkenness where everybody goes, oh, dear me. Or swearing or whatever. Oh. Because they can be subtle, can't they? Sneaky, sly. Hard at the spot. Much easier to tolerate in ourselves. Much easier, aren't they? You know that lovely guy who came up to me years ago after the service, who was a church member, and said, the thing is, you see, if me and my wife, if we didn't tithe, we could go on holiday to Lanzarote like they have. I don't know where to start. Where do you start? You know, some of you will know that there have been preachers I've heard who target things like women wearing makeup, people drinking lager, or people smoking, you know. But when we come to God's top 10, if you like, the commandments, lager and lipstick and nicotine, they're not in it, are they? But coveting is, isn't it? Coveting is. It's the one, when the rich young ruler comes, it's the one that's not mentioned in the passage, and I wonder, is that the key to it all? Is that why Jesus said, what do you need to do now then? See, is give it all away. Give it all away. Then you can come and follow me. Give it all away. He's not called the rich young ruler for nothing. He's rich. He's got a lot to give away. Envying the world. Envying the lost. You've done it. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But we do it. And here, Miriam wants what Moses has got, that position, that status, up there. And how fierce and swift the Lord's judgment is. A Puritan used to say this, if you don't feel the love of God, if you're not aware of the grace of God, if you're not thrilled, if you're not amazed then at the grace of God, all you need to do is take a little turn up and down your life and that'll be enough. It ought to be enough, oughtn't it? You ought to be able to sit there now. And if I shut up for a couple of minutes, you ought to be able to just think and take a little trip around you wouldn't have to go far in your life for that to be enough. You'd be amazed at the grace of God. But it's not as easy as that for some reason, is it? It ought to be enough. At your feet we fall, we sang. But do we? Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee. Am I worthy? No. Is he worthy? Well, officially, Yes? Does it show? You know, I remember facts. I don't know how that happens, but if it's a useless fact, it's a chance it's stored in my head if I've ever heard it. But there's one fact, one number that's in the Bible that I've never forgotten. I haven't tried to remember it. It's the number of people in the book of Numbers, number of fighting men who came out of Egypt, 603,550. It just stuck in my head. The reason it's stuck in my head probably is because out of that 603,550, how many get into the promised land? Two. Now that fact, I ought to be able to leave you with that fact, because it's a frightening fact, isn't it? We've got 603,550, not pagans, Israelites, Hebrews, wonderfully delivered. How many make it? Two. Moses is humble, he bows. Miriam doesn't, dear, does she? You know, there's certain songs I can remember when I first sang them. Shine, Jesus, shine. I remember exactly where I was in a big healing meeting, which was disastrous. But we sang that song for the first time I'd heard it. There's another one. I remember singing this. What kind of love is this? I didn't even know his name. You know the line in it? I didn't know anything about Jesus. Oh, I'd heard his name, but I didn't know anything about him. Not really. I didn't even know his name, and yet he loved me. What kind of love is this? That I might know the love of God? Do you appreciate his grace, what he's given to you? Or are you just like Miriam tonight? You know, we did a camp in Bala once, and on the team of officers were two mature theological students. And during the course of the week, one was being increasingly convicted of his sin. Been a Christian a long time, but really convicted. And on the last night, he was broken. And he stood up and he confessed publicly that he had envied the other guy all the years they'd been training together. Just envied him. What do you need to confess tonight? Need to confess him in tonight? We heard a sermon on the vineyard the other day. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. Why are you here and somebody else is not? It's grace. Why am I standing in the pulpit here and you are not? Because it's the grace of God. God said to me, this is what I want you to do. He hasn't said it to you, so you're not here. It's all of grace. Do you see anything of yourself in Miriam? Do you see how ungrateful you are to God, what he's given? You know, King David was spot on, wasn't he? Who am I? Who am I that you should have brought me safely this far? Is that your mindset tonight? Is that the way you're thinking? Lord, who am I? Who am I that you should have bothered me at all? Now, what I want you to do now is to think about your ingratitude, your jealousy, your envy, the fact that you have not. I want you to take a whistle-stop tour up and down your life so that you might come clean before God. Now, you may want to do it out loud, you may not. But I want you to do it. I don't want you to just sit there now hoping that the service will end soon. I want you to look at you may have to go back a long time then. But I want you to look through your life, trawl through your life at some of the obvious blessings that God has poured out on you. Not on me, on you. Not on the person next to you, but on you. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from our Heavenly Father. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, what do you have you didn't receive? All you've got, he gave you. I want you to spend some time now mulling it over. I'm going to leave some time before we sing the song. Mull it over. Pray quietly. If you want to pray out loud, that's fine as well. I don't want any dirty washing shared, obviously. Don't wash your dirty linen in public. But you need to mull these things over and you need to confess your sins. Because here is one act of Miriam's that's recorded and the judgment is devastating. How many acts for me? How many times have I been like this? How many times have you been like this? And yet, here we are. I've never been struck leprous for a week. Neither have you. You know, this is recorded, and yet God's mercy to me, to you, is phenomenal. So I'm going to stop now. I'm going to ask you to think about these things and confess your sin to the Lord. And then we'll sing. Father, we're sorry that we need to be forced to think about these things. We're sorry, Lord, that we dismiss our sins so lightly all the time. We're sorry, Lord, that we are so self-centered, that the me monster overpowers our desire to serve you. We're sorry, Lord, for all the times we envied, all the times we've been jealous, all the time we've lusted and longed for things, Lord, that you've chosen not to give us. And we're sorry, Lord, for the fact that we just haven't appreciated that every breath we have ever taken is because you have ordained it. You hold our little lives now in your hand. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us, Lord. We're just like those 10 lepers, Lord, that we've been healed. But, oh, Lord, our lack of praise. Forgive us our sins. Please forgive us. And help us, Lord, when we go home to continue to think about these things. Lord, that we might be clean, we might confess our sins, that we might be revived, refreshed, renewed, that we might start to live a Christian life on a different level, Lord, on a different plane. That we might find that you are pleased with us, that we might find that we are walking with you because we're agreeing with you, that we agree with you when you tell us our sin and we don't wriggle and we don't defend ourselves. Oh, Lord, these things are gloriously possible. Please hear our prayers. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we might be changed, that we might be changed. And we ask all this because, Heavenly Father, you gave your one and only Son for us, to do many things, to forgive us, but also, Lord, to transform us into his likeness so that one day we can stand before you dressed in a righteousness as good as you as, Lord. We can stand before you and then we can say that we will see him as he is and be like him. So hear our prayers. Please hear our prayers. Forbid it, Lord, that we just trundle home now the same as when we came. Please hear our prayers. Have mercy upon us, Lord, because we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing that song. If you want to talk about these things afterwards, then please do.